Our world is obsessed with the idea of love. Now, I'm going to try not to give my opinion of the Hallmark Channel, but it's not a very good one. But these people came up with their opinion of love, and they hit a gold mine. Because all these ladies love, love, love their Hallmark Channel, and they've made a gazillion dollars because everybody is consumed with the idea and the ideal of love. But we're clueless about what love, true biblical love, really is. And what it looks like, and how it functions. Someone says, "Baby, oh baby, I love you." What he wants, what he says is, "I want to take advantage of you." That's what he means. Now he's saying, "I love you." What he means, "I need something that you have." He says, "Oh baby, you are the prettiest girl I've ever seen in my whole life." What he really means, "I need you to make me happy." We're obsessed with the idea, the ideal of love. But we don't really understand biblical love, what it truly, truly is. Heard about a boy went up to his girlfriend and says, "Honey, I love you. I love you to the moon and back." Her eyes are fluttering. She says, "Oh, would you die for me?" He says, "No, my love is an undying kind of love." Four evidences of genuine, authentic, sacrificial love. Sermon I'm entitling, "Loving Large." First truth I want you to see. Notice the exhortation to love, John 15. Look at verse 12. "This is my commandment." We saw that last week. "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Now, if you were about to be executed in a matter of hours, you would probably be consumed with you. What you were about to face 24 hours before the cross, Jesus is not consumed with, "Oh no, I'm getting ready to be flogged. Oh no, they're getting ready to nail my hands to a cross, nail my feet to the cross, pierce my side. They're going to put a crown of thorns in my head. They're going to rip out my beard." He's not consumed with that. He's consumed with the needs of his disciples and their lack of genuine, authentic, real, divine, agape, heavenly love. "This is my," not suggestion, "commandment, that ye love one another." You say, "Pastor, how can you command someone to love?" He doesn't say, "I command you to be patient. I command you to be merciful." He says, "I command you to love." Because that's the difference between the Hallmark kind of love and the heaven kind of love. See, the Hallmark kind of love is you fall in love. Oh, it's a feeling kind of love. It is an emotional kind of love. The heaven kind of love, The divine kind of love, is a decision kind of love. It's a sacrificial kind of love. Has nothing to do with feelings. It's you act. you sacrifice, you lay down your life. Maybe the feelings are there, but often the feelings aren't there. Jesus laid down his life for us, who were his enemies. Jesus laid down his life for those who were beating him and spitting upon him. It's not like he was Hallmark kind of love, oh, gushing over them. No, no, no. It was a heavenly, divine kind of love. You're in John 15. Turn back the page. Look at John 13. Just a few hours earlier, he had told these disciples the same thing. John 13, look at verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So why would Jesus repeat this same command the same night a few hours after he had already said it? All of you ladies are saying, because he was talking to men. Because all of us struggle with this idea of genuine, authentic, divine, sacrificial, intentional love. If you ever go to California, you find the largest living things on earth, redwood trees. They grow to be 300 feet high. I'm told, I wasn't around, but some of the redwood trees are 2,500 years old. Redwood trees, for every foot they grow up, their root system is 3 foot down. What do you think? 300 foot up. You would think, oh man, their root system must go way, 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 way down deep. No. Not how it works. The redwoods, their root system is very shallow. They go sideways. And you'll never see a redwood by itself. They're always in clusters. Now, 3 foot for every 1 foot high. So if you see a 300-foot redwood, its root system will be 900 feet long. But they're all interconnected. They're all intertwined. They're all interdependent upon each other. Jesus says, here's how I want my family, my body to work. You are to love. You are to sacrifice. You are to be interdependent upon each other. That's how the world will know you are one of mine. You love, you depend, you sacrifice. You are interconnected upon each other. Number one, the exhortation to love. Number two, notice the example of love. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Look, next phrase. As I have loved you. So remember, this group of disciples was quite the interesting lot. In this group, you had Matthew, the tax collector, and you had Simon, the zealot. Quite polar opposites. Simon the Zealots, you realize the Zealots, they were known to be insurrectionists. They were known to be the ones who were trying to overthrow the Roman Empire. Matthew the tax collector, he was a Jewish guy. They considered a traitor who was working for the Roman government, who was going, taking up taxes from Jewish people, overtaxing them and putting it in his pocket. So you had one of the disciples who hated the Roman government, another one of the disciples who worked for the Roman government. So when Jesus says, hey, I want you to love one another, I want you to sacrifice one another, I want you to be willing to lay down your life for one another as I have loved one of, as I have loved you. He's talking about Matthew and Simon, who do not like each other. Who, if they were on the pew, they would not be sitting next to each other. They would not be even sitting on the same section, because zealots do not sit beside tax collectors. They hate them. Remember 1 John 4:20 from last week? If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Let me give you some example. It means four people have to love Chevy people. That means Tar Heel people got to love demon people, devil people, Wolfpack people. That means Anglo people have to love African American people and Hispanic people and Korean people and all of the other nationalities. That means rich people lay down their life for those people that are poor. That means those that with PhDs are loving and sacrificing and laying down their lives for the high school dropout. That's what he's saying here. You are to love one another as I have loved you. Jesus on the cross, he's not saying, oh, how many degrees do you have? Let me see if I'm dying for you. No, no, no. He died for the whole world. Oh, well, what's your nationality? Let me see if I'm dying. No, he died for all. How many sins have you committed? Let me see if I'm dying for you. He died for everybody. Doesn't matter how many sins you have. So let's get off of our, oh, well, I don't know if I'm going to love you. You have too many sins. No, no, no. Jesus died for everybody. And so we are to love. I'm not talking about condoning. We are to love everybody. No, look. This is my commandment. Not a choice. It's a commandment. It means it's a commitment. You don't fall into it. You are committed. I am going to love that person, no matter how difficult or how challenging it is. You know what you call a person who cannot control their feelings? Can't control them. Base all of their decisions on emotions. You call that person a baby. You call that person an infant. We have one of those around our house, and we're working on having a second one around our house. And it's wonderful, except when they have a dirty diaper, and then I pass it off to his grandmother, and this kid is yours. But they grow up, and they mature. We don't want him to stay small. We want them to mature. And so it is with Christians. We are to mature and stop being so immature. And as we mature, we are to love people and stop being so selfish and all stop being so self-focused. Number two, the example of love. Not all about me. I'm loving other people. Number three, the extravagance of love. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus would demonstrate this love for his disciples in a matter of hours. This is to be our standard of living every day. Guys, you are to do this for your wives. Wives, you're to do this for your husbands. Dad, you're to do this for your kids. You're to do this for those that you work with. The natural tendency for all of us is to be selfish. So before you lay down your life and die for them, you got to die to self. Here's the problem with Neil Jackson. I'm selfish. You know what I do when I get cold? I warm myself up. I put on a sweatshirt because I don't like being cold. You know what I do when I get hot? I turn the air conditioning on. I don't like being hot. You know what I do when I get hungry? I eat. I feed me. You know what I do when I get thirsty? I drink me. I don't like being thirsty. Some of that's not good grammar. So what I do? You know what I do when I get tired? I put me to bed. Tracy says, you need to go to bed. You're irritable. You know what I do when I'm irritable? I don't think I'm irritable. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife. King James says, or vainglory, selfish ambition. Nothing. And it says, let each esteem the other better than himself. Now, Jesus said it in John 15. Greater love has no man than this. A man lay down his life for his friend. Let each esteem the other better than himself. Bringing it to marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church. Gave himself for it. Some of you are saying, I got my Glock 45 around my belt. I'll die for my wife. Will you make up the bed tomorrow? No, I want to die. I don't want to make up the bed. How about picking up your clothes? Nah, dying's easier. Let her pick up the clothes. That's woman's work. No. Selfless. That's what he's talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. They don't have this on the screen. Listen to what it says. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Before I was born, the term was free love. No such thing as free love. Love is expensive. And you show your love by laying down your life. Dad, I challenge you. Your kids need you more than your job needs you. Greatest sacrifice you can make is saying, sorry, I got to cut off. I got to go hang out with my kids. Yeah. You'll make more money, or you'll make less money, but you're putting an investment in your kids that will last for all of eternity. Turn away the money. Yeah. Live poor. Live at a lower level financially so that you can lay down your life for your kids. Greatest investment you can make. You made a vow to that woman. Invest in her. Invest in her by just loving her sacrificially. Ma'am, you made a vow as well. Love that man. He's not perfect. His feet stink. Sometimes his breath stinks. Love him. Praise him. He needs you to be his cheerleader. You can get more out of him if you'll cheer him on than if you're going to nag him. Number three, the extravagance. That's not a good time to amen. Number three, the extravagance of love. Number four, the endowment of love, and I'm done. Look back up at verse 9, and I'm going to wrap this up. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. You see, it's almost like passing the baton. It's almost like you're a runner. The Father has loved Jesus, and so have I loved you. Jesus has passed it on to you. And then he says, continue ye in my love. You are to pass it on. So Father has abundantly loved me, and I have abundantly loved you. Now you are to abundantly love others. But notice what it says. Continue ye. And literally it means to abide. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. But ladies, don't get mad at me. Let me give you a bad illustration of continue ye. So Tracy and Reagan yesterday went and got a manicure or a pedicure or something. And let's just say that I've never seen the value or the benefit of manicures and pedicures. So early on in our marriage, I offered to do that for Tracy. I was like, baby, I can watch YouTube videos and we can save a lot of money. I mean, I know how to sharpen a blade on a tractor. I can do your nails and we can save a lot of money. You don't need to go pay some fancy lady and all of that stuff. I mean, and please don't get that one finger done differently. Do they run out of fingernail polish or something? Don't go do that. And Tracy says, it's something about the experience. And I'm like, baby, you're going to be with me. We can have a wonderful experience. And she says, there are some times I need relief from you. So, you guys are with me here. I have learned over 29 years of experience. I still think it's too much money. 29 years of marriage. To invest a little bit into her pedicures and manicures and whatever they do. Because when she goes and does her thing that I think is too much money, and I can do a whole lot better with my tractor training experience, she comes back better. She comes back rejuvenized. She comes back with a better outlook on life. Look what the verse says. Continue ye in my love. It literally means to abide. When you realize how much God loves you, when you realize what a great sinner you were, when you realize that all of your sin deserved to put you in hell for all of eternity, and Jesus was willing to leave all of heaven to come to earth to die just for your sorry soul. He loved you so much that he would do that just for you. And you just continually and just stay there as she's soaking her feet or whatever she does. Because I've never been to the manicurist or the pedicurist. I've never been there. I just do mine and they're free. She just sits there and soaks. And you just contemplate that and meditate on that and grasp that. All of a sudden, that person who needs love in your life, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a family member, whether it be a coworker, when you realize that the Father loves the Son and the Son loves you, and now you have the responsibility to take that love and love others, After you have continued there, you're ready to go and share that love. Here's my question. Who do you need to share His love with? You say, oh, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. They've done this, and they've done that, and they've done that. And I say, just continue. You just need to go to the cross and think about that cross and think about your sins that put Jesus on that cross. And when you dwell upon your sins that put Jesus on that cross and you continue there, and when you realize the gravity of your sins and the gravity of His love and forgiveness for your sins, then you'll be ready to go and share His love with the people in your life that need it. So my question, who needs Jesus' love in your life? It's not a feeling. It's not a Hallmark show. It's divine love. And He wants you to go demonstrate it.